Romans 10, I'm going to start in 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that we are able to meet again tonight as a church family. I pray that we would just be focused on your word. Pray that you would stop me from saying anything that is against it, Lord, that your words would be proclaimed tonight, not mine. So help us to understand, gain wisdom from this, and help us to go and tell people about you. It's in your son's name that we pray, amen. All right, so I recently did a Sunday morning Bible study a few weeks ago on evangelism, the gospel and evangelism. So going to be talking a little bit about that tonight. So we're going to do 3 weeks of talking about evangelism. We're going to go over the how, the why, and then what comes next. So we'll go over those three things. I'm not going to be just going off exactly what I talked about in that Bible study for those of you that were in there. So it's not going to be completely the same, but some of it will be coming out of that. So we want to focus on this. And this verse that I started out with, Romans 10, this chapter is kind of going to be the theme or the banner over this little series, I guess. But we're going to return to that often. So if you want to stay there, we're going to jump around. But that's going to be our theme verse for this. So as a church, we must really grasp the importance of telling people about Christ. Our church motto is to know Christ and to make him known. Really love that motto or statement or whatever it may be. It's great, and I love that we as a church are striving to let that be what we do here at Baker Heights. We need to make him known among our family and our workplaces, our cities, among the nations, etc., etc. But how can we do that? How can we make Christ known if we don't go? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. That's the question that is asked in Romans 10 here. How can we do it if we don't go? If we don't take what we know about Christ and go make him known, how can we do this if we don't go? So I'm going to use an illustration real quick. It's not my own, so it's an illustration. I'm going to use football. I'm going to use the NFL real quickly. I want you to picture yourselves watching an NFL game, whether it's in the stands with thousands of people gathered around a football stadium, or at your home watching on a TV, seeing those thousands of people gathered around a football stadium. You see all the players. You see 22 players. If you're up high, they look like little ants down there because the stadiums are so large. You have 22 players on the field, and they do this weird thing where they form circles with each other, with their hands around each other real quick, before the action happens, right? But people don't go to a football game, they don't go to an NFL game to see what that is, a huddle. They don't go to see a huddle. They don't go to see people crowded around each other. They say break, and then, oh, it's time to go. Good huddle, guys. That was a great huddle. Good job. People don't go to see that. They want to see what happens because of the plans that were made in the huddle, right? They want to see what becomes of what they just talked about. They want to see the action part of it. In the same sense, it's maybe a poor illustration, but in the same sense, as we gather as a church to know Christ, to read his word, to study, to pray with one another, do all these things within our church, it's kind of like a huddle. But if we don't do the action part by taking it out and showing people the great news of Christ by making him known outside the walls of the church, even inside sometimes, we have visitors all the time that don't know Christ that come to our church, then what are we doing, right? So we can't just stop at the huddle. We have to take this small huddle and make it known outside of our church. So, but we have to ask the question, why are we doing this? Why do followers of Christ do this? So I'm going to give you a few points, then we're going to wrap up with a few things, and then we'll come back next week and do the same thing. But why do followers of Christ do this? First of all, it's commanded. You go to Matthew 28. You guys know this, but we'll turn there anyway. The Great Commission. Matthew 28, we're going to go 19 and 20. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Well, yes, that's kind of like the Sunday school answer. Yeah, it's commanded by God to go and make disciples, to go and share the gospel, to go and do these things. But Christ commanded us, so we must go and do it. We can't just brush off this command, follow the other ones, and brush this one off. Because I feel like often, I'm saying we, because I'm including myself, we often put this one aside as if it's not as important when it is massively important and it is commanded by God. And we must go because God has chosen us as his followers to go and share the gospel. Now here's the cool part about this is God doesn't need us to make himself known, but yet he chooses us. I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians. I am mind blown by this verse. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble, of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. God does not need us, but yet he chooses us, his followers, to make him known, to share his gospel. He uses us, the weak, the foolish, the low and despised, and through us, he still gets all the glory for him being known, for us making him known to the nations, to the people in our workplaces, to our families, to our friends, strangers. He gets all the glory. He doesn't need us, but he uses us. And I just say we praise God that he gives us the opportunity to be a part of that. I just can't get over the fact that he, this great and mighty God, is going to use what is weak and foolish to show how great and mighty he is. That's crazy to think about. And he gets all the glory. So, number one, it's commanded of us to do. So we must go and do it. He doesn't need us, but yet he is going to choose to use us. And praise God for that. So number two and number three are going to go together. They're going to stem off of number one, but love for God is number two. Since we have a love for God, then we have a desire to obey what is commanded by him. He commands us, we love him, we desire to obey those commands. Simple, right? That's number two, love for God. Number three, we have a love for the lost. So since we have a love for God, and since that love helps us to obey his commandments, that means we also have a love for others. And since we have a love for others, then we have a desire to share the gospel with them. We have a love for the lost. We have, in our own lives, considered the implications of the Bible, of the finished work of Christ and the grace of God in our own lives. We've considered those implications. So now we must go and make them known. We must go and make them known. So we have a love for God. It drives our obedience. We have a love for the lost. It drives our obedience and it drives our love for God. So we must go and tell people about him. And then we get to point number four. We're going to sit on this one for a little bit, but Romans 1. So it's commanded, we have a love for God, we have a love for the lost, and the gospel, sharing the gospel, God uses it as the power for salvation. Let me read 1:16, popular verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Notice also something cool I just actually just picked up on now, is that most of the verses that I've said tonight have had an Old Testament connection prophesying a salvation through the gospel, which is pretty cool. I think that one goes back, that one goes to Habakkuk. The other one was Isaiah. So that's pretty cool that pops out. But this gospel, the message, the news that the work of Christ having a sinless life, substituting in our place where we should have been, takes our place on the cross, dies on the cross, satisfying God's wrath for the punishment that we owed. He resurrected from the grave on the third day, and now he's seated on the throne in heaven. That message is how God is choosing to use to bring about his salvation. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. So we can't get around that. We tell and share the gospel. We make Christ known because it is the power of God that he uses for salvation. So for someone to now put faith in the completed works of Christ, put faith in his completed works and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, they can be saved. And because they are saved, that means they can spend eternity in the presence of God in the fullness of joy, which is amazing. They're saved from sin that would separate them from God forever in hell. And we see this, and we know, because some people might ask, well, how could God do that if he's loving? But how could a sinful wretch stand in front of him, in front of a holy, just, loving God? You can kind of turn the question around. But if they confess that Christ is Lord, they believe in their heart, Romans 10:9, they can spend eternity in the presence of God. And if all this is true, and if this, the gospel, the word that we read, if it's all true, if it's really the power that God uses for his salvation, and I'm going to assume that everyone in here wants to see people saved, that we as a church, we as Baker Heights Baptist Church, want to see people in our area, in the entire world, we want to see them be saved in Zambia and Belize, these other places that we support, we want to see them be saved. If that's the truth, if we really believe this message that we proclaim here, then the question is, why aren't we going? Why aren't we shouting this from the rooftops? Why is this not being a part of every single conversation that we've ever had? Why is it so hard to share the gospel? Why? It's tough. It's very difficult. And it saddens me to know that I see people every day, and I talk to people every day who will spend an eternity apart from God. That's crazy to think about. It's very sad, very heartbreaking. I believe that God is sovereign, but God also uses us to make his name known, to make Christ known. So real quickly as we wrap up, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 9. It'll be verse 35 is where we'll start. Why are we not shouting this from the rooftops? So Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages and teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He had compassion on the crowds. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. They were lost without this salvation. They were lost without Christ. We must go into the harvest, this great and plentiful harvest where there's many people who don't know Christ. We must go out there and share and tell and proclaim and let people know, make Christ known. We know Christ. We're in here in this huddle, in this church, and we're knowing Christ. We're learning more about him. We're gathering more information. We're getting closer, being sanctified day by day. We're doing all these things in this huddle. But man, would it be a shame if we kept it in this huddle and didn't let anybody else know about it, right? It'd be a shame if a football team gathered around in a huddle, they broke, and then they left. That wouldn't be a sport anymore in America, I'll tell you that much. But it'd be a shame if we as a church, as Baker Heights Baptist Church, if we kept what we knew about Christ in this huddle of ours and we didn't go and we didn't share it with those around us. This great news. I mean, this is life-changing, eternal destination-changing news. That's crazy. If we just take a moment and think about the implication, this is the truth here. This is the truth. The Word of God is the truth, and it is the only truth, and it's going to proclaim something that is eternal rather than temporal, where our minds tend to focus. So the gospel needs to be the center of our lives, of our church. The gospel needs to be the center and be woven into everyday conversations. We need to do this, and we need to do it better, I think. And the reason that I want to go over this is because we need encouragement to do it, right? Sometimes if we don't think about this for a while, it can be put on the back burner and we might not think about it very often. But if we go and we do and we always are centered on this message, then it's going to be in our minds, it's going to be on our hearts, and then it's also going to be what comes out of our mouth. I just did a lesson in the youth group. We talked about language, how we can glorify God with our language and how we speak. And it came down to the fact that it's not about what comes out of our mouth. It's about what we're thinking about, what's on our heart. Even Andrew was saying that it's a heart problem, not a mouth problem. What comes out of your mouth is an overflow of what you're thinking about. So if we're centered on this message and we're centered on the Word of God, then what comes out of our mouth is going to be the gospel or the Word of God, right? So we have to think about that. So let me return to our theme real quick. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How are the people outside the church walls supposed to know if we don't go and tell them? So that's my encouragement. We need to go and tell them. Why? Because it's commanded. Christ tells us to do it. We have a love for God. We have a love for the lost. And this message is what God chose to use as the power for salvation. And let us not be ashamed of it. Let us go and tell everyone we know. So next week, Lord willing, we will talk about how, maybe get into some practical things, and then we'll talk about what we do after. But I just want to pray right now with what we read in Matthew 9, that we need to pray earnestly that the Lord would send us out into the harvest that's so plentiful, where there are few laborers. But let us go out from these walls. Let's take the plans that we make in the huddle, and let us make them known. Let us make Christ known in Martinsburg, in the United States of America, in the entire world. So let me pray for us. Lord, we come before you in humility. we just ask for a boldness, a strength, to share your gospel, that we would not be ashamed of the word of God, but that we would tell people with a joy in our hearts and with love the great news that you took our place for our sin. You died on the cross for our sake, that, and then you rose from the dead, showing that the wrath has been satisfied and that we can now become alive in you. Help us to take this news and share it with everyone we know, Lord. Let us not forsake it. Let us be thinking about it. Let us be praying on it. And Lord, I just ask that you would send us from here outside of this church to share your word with others around us. Help us, Lord. Our flesh is weak, but our spirit, I hope, is willing, Lord. So help us. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.